completes our other business. Referring back to our public hearings, our first public hearing was conditional use number 1967, Tidewater Environmental Services Incorporated.
Can we have just some brief discussion on that real quick, if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman? I know, you know, that I asked a lot of questions on that, and one of the reasons is because, you know, this is an issue that I wanted the commission to know a little bit about. And as I said, it's almost less about the retreat than it is about how this is going to potentially come back around, you know, on the county. And I, whether it's this one or other ones, I want you all to be thinking about this type of situation, because it's happening all over the county. You know, we had Artesian was going to do the North Milton regional sewer plant that was supposed to connect a bunch of properties and developments to it, which developers had CPCNs for and now got no place to pump their wastewater to. You know, we have another one on Route 9, a development that was supposed to go into a regional wastewater system, and they're pumping down Route 9 into Beaver Creek or whatever it is at Harbison, an existing subdivision's wastewater treatment plant that was supposed to serve just that subdivision. And now we've got the Coastal Club, which is supposed to pump to a private wastewater treatment and disposal facility that's not online. And we're sort of, on all these, we keep being asked to sort of band-aid them, you know, whether it's through the conditional use process. And ultimately, it strikes me that developers are the ones that are having limitations put on, you know, how they can proceed with their development when they were initially under the impression that there'd be all kinds of capacity and they could just build and go, you know. So it's mainly, I just want you all to be thinking and have that in the back of your mind, you know, that you try to make exceptions or work with folks now when it's easy, but it can later on become a real problem where there's lots of people that have a lot more skin in the game, meaning property owners and developers and banks and things later on down the road. So just, you know, I didn't mean to sound like I was particularly going after Tidewater so much, but it's just more of a lot bigger issue that, again, this is sort of the easy stays of it. It potentially gets a lot more complicated down the road.
Yeah, and that's where I was trying to go. I don't know if I did it very articulately, but there has to be some obligation when the CPCN is issued. So Tidewater says, well, I've got a CPCN, and then they're holding the property owner hostage and the county hostage to some degree of, well, do this or this doesn't get done. But when they went to the Public Service Commission, they said they were willing and able, and now they're saying, well, we're not really sure if we are, but we got our CPCN, we're not going to give it up. So there's got to be some, and this is not anything against Tidewater necessarily, it's just this process that, you know, when the Public Service Commission issued the CPCN, it was under the premise that they were willing and able. Now they're saying we're not quite so. Well, then, if they're not quite so willing and able, then why is it such a locked-in deal that they get their CPCN and hold it? Why shouldn't the county sewer district say, wait a minute, if you're not really willing and able, then we should be able to jump in, and we've got a county sewer district proposed, and let it serve?
I think that's an excellent point that needs to be discussed. And I think this speaks to one of the, since I've been on here for 20 years, and I can tell you the hardest thing to do is intergovernmental coordination. And that's really what we're talking about here, because the whole issue with the CPCN, like you just said, presupposes that they are ready, willing, and able to serve. Well, what happens when that situation changes? You know, is there a mechanism to by which the county or the state can say, put up or shut up, you know?
And the problem is that the CPCNs, and we're kind of getting into the policy of it, but they're deemed to be property rights by the public utilities. And so, and this has happened, developers know that, okay, they could go to the Public Service Commission and say, Public Service Commission, such and such public utility can't serve, therefore they should, the CPCN should be voided. But the developers also know full well that the utilities aren't going to go away without a fight, which means litigation, and in the meantime means that developer can't build.
Right.
I mean, it's just a...
I get all that, too.
And I guess here's the situation, and it also, it has to do with whether it's planning and zoning or the county. And I hear what you're saying, it's between the developer and Tidewater, but people don't see it that way.
Well, I know.
You know, I mean, there's the perception that property owner in that development is going to come back to Sussex County and say, you guys approve this, you guys fix it, you know. And right or wrong, but that's the perception.
In this case, this owner isn't even the one that asked Tidewater to step in.
That's right.
And it's not, I mean, the property owner did request it originally, you know, in 2005, so it's not just the utility.
I can tell you that it all speaks to the planning efforts that go into these things, and that's something that all parties involved need to do a better job of.
Yeah, well, I don't know that, and I got to stick up for the county engineering department on that, because there's not been the type of hiccups that we've seen.
Well, it's not the county's planning that I'm so much concerned about. It's that when these private entities take on this responsibility, they have a planning obligation. In my mind, they have a planning obligation as well. It's not just the county.
When that Gosley district, if it gets built, and then the people in that district say, well, we want to buy that line, that 4,000-foot line, and yet the utility has already collected the hookup fees, and then the residents in that sewer district are going to have to buy the line a second time, utility is walking away with some bucks. And the residents that are in the sewer district are paying the premium, and that's what I want to avoid. Now, if it stays under the utility's hat and there's no gaps, well, then there's no harm, no foul. But if there's a transfer and then there's a fee paid by the residents in the sewer district, now they're paying double, and that's wrong. You know, because that's a game. That's an end run is what that is, and that's wrong. And that's what I was trying to make clear.
That's what we need to be trying to circumvent. We need to block that off.
Because I guarantee you, well, I can't guarantee anything, but, you know, what may happen, maybe not in this case, but in another case, is that they'll come back in 4 years or 5 years and say, well, circumstances have changed, they were unforeseen things, and now here we have the situation.
Well, one thing is for certain, that if things don't go as planned, they will come to the county to be bailed out.
That's what they just did tonight. I mean,
that's essentially what's
right now.
Happening now.
Yeah.
So when the decision was made to mix public and private for the provision of public goods, which essentially what a water and sewer is a public good, you know, these are some of the unintended consequences of that. You know, so we have to kind of noodle our way through that now. And or have the resolve to not do this in the future, one or the other.
Is there an expiration date on a CPCN?
No, and see, that's the problem. There's no sunset on it.
See, there's no sunset. There's no obligation to construct within a certain period, and that's what I think would...
The developer is under...
But see, I think that would break that business up, though, if you said you can have a CPCN, it's good for 10 years. Right. If you haven't figured it out in 10 years... then open season again.
And we brought that up at a meeting with the Public Service Commission where all the parties that we're talking about were there. And the Public Service Commission was in favor of it. There's the public advocate who's there. They were in favor of that. But the utilities, they look at it as a property right. It's in perpetuity right now, so that's not something that they will easily concede.
A developer's under a timeline to get substantially underway, but... wastewater treatment plant.
It might be a property right, but property rights frequently are circumscribed by, you know, by other conditions. So there's nothing, it certainly would not be precedent setting for there to be some obligation to perform, because as Mr. Burton says, we're already placed that requirement on developers, you know, and it may not be within our purview to.
I mean, if it's granted or purchased is a big thing for me. I mean, and most of these CPCNs were requested by the property owner with no payment, and it was just granted. The utility never paid a penny for that CPCN.
Yeah.
They just went because of the request of the property owner to the Public Service Commission. So I think there's a big difference between that property right and one in which somebody paid money for a property and they had civil fee ownership. So I'm not so sure it extends quite as far as we're giving it.
Which is my point exactly, is precisely what I'm saying, is I think that it even it lends more credence to the notion that that right can be circumscribed in some way. And I think it, and I think...
Or put up or shut up. I
that's
mean,
my point.
I mean, good Lord, you can't have it both ways.
Well,
we're not ready to build, and yet we want favors. And then, by the way, if we can't build, you may have to step in. Oh,
Now, this type of intervention and assistance is less problematic to me than having to reach in our pocket and solve the problem.
If they build the Wannondale plant, well, then, you know, it's all good.
Problem
and
solved,
if
yeah.
If they don't, I hope we all have some memories so that we can call them 2 feet to the fire, because it's just not
well,
right.
What's interesting, too, is I mean, if you remember with Wannondale, there was a lot of projects that came before the commission said they were going to connect to it. I wonder where they all are. I mean, because they make it sound like this is the one that makes it go, but there's plenty of others.
Well, I guess anyone could step up.
But are they sitting there because of Wannondale, or are they sitting there because of other reasons?
Well, the economy is not there to get them.
It's the market.
It's the market.
Yeah. If people had continued to buy homes at the rate they were, as Wannondale would have been built by now, done, and they'd all be in here hollering for something else. But
the thing is, if you have 10 developments and they're all going at a slow rate and they were all promised Wannondale, you know, 10 houses in a development, some developer wants to get moving, but that's not the volume to get Wannondale going.
Apparently, the volume from this one is enough to get the plant started, or they wouldn't be talking about doing it. You know,
it's the farthest distance away from where the plant goes.
Yeah, and it's strange. Yeah.
Farthest away, almost.
But I mean, they made it clear, and of course, the county has found this out in spades in other places, that there's a certain amount of volume you have to make these plants run. You know, and if they don't have it, they're not going to run.
Is Swannendale going to be big enough to handle this and the future 10?
Yeah,
it's pretty big, and it's built in stages too, as I recall. It won't all be built at one time.
Well, you know, the retreat would approve with an on-site sewage treatment disposal facility. The Coastal Club, with Tidewater, after they purchased the other company, the Coastal Club would approve for Tidewater to do an on-site wastewater treatment facility.
So
serve those 600 units.
Complicated even further now. So.
That was separate. They were going to serve on site.
Right.
It must be less expensive to hope.
It's got to be less expensive to do the one project rather than build projects all over the place.
Mr. Johnson, in view of all this discussion, what's your pleasure?
Well, now I'm just going to tear up the motion I'd written. Therefore, Mr. Chairman, concerning conditional use number 1967, Tiger Environmental Services, Inc., I move that we defer action and give the commission time for further consideration.
Second.
The move and seconded to defer action on conditional use number 1967, Tidewater Environmental Services Incorporated. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.